Hey everybody, what's up? Worst Friends Podcast. I'm Tim and I'm joined like always by my worst friend Colin.
I didn't think of a intro high funny line to say this time. I'm sorry.
That was pretty funny, actually.
We do some shout out.
You got anyone you want to say hi to?
I got a couple. One wanna shout out to our friend Rodney. First like thrown up on the Facebook,
Okay.
the Worst Friends Facebook page. Show him some love. We had a couple other, comments here or there. Most notably, our good friend Alex. She's thrown up a couple good comments. Some a little bit heated. We might just touch on those really quickly, but say thanks to her. And then finally, I want to say a shout out to Ernie Sims.
Oh, what's Ernie doing?
We got the draft going on right now. It's the second day of it so far. And Ernie Sims, even though maybe not one of the most highly touted Lions draft picks, still the best draft story that I have. I'll always remember when Ernie Sims was picked. Now, bear with me really quick. So it was 2006. I was
Right.
living in an apartment in Mount Pleasant, going to Central, and it was one of those. It was at Sterling. You remember that place,
Oh,
Tim?
yeah.
But there were three on the ground floor, three other apartments aside from my own. We were friends with everyone else. You just kind of walked out the door. There was a little hallway, and then the other apartments. We were friends with a couple of these goons. They were right across the hall from us. And they were big Lions fans, huge Lions fans. And this one guy there was convinced, you could not convince him otherwise, that the Lions would pick anyone else but Matt Leinart.
Oh,
He's like,
God.
look, Leinart's going to drop. We're going to get him, franchise quarterback. Can't wait. We're going to get Leinart. It's going to happen. A lot of people weren't convinced that Leinart would drop that low. If you remember that draft, a lot of people
Yeah, I can
thought he'd go
remember it.
first couple rounds. I'm thinking there's no way Leinart drops to, I think the Lions had the ninth pick. Well,
Yep.
the ninth pick comes around and the Detroit Lions select Ernie Sims. I'm just sitting in the living room in my apartment. I hear, screaming at the top of his lungs. And I mean, there were some other colorful metaphors
Oh,
thrown
of
in there
course.
as well. And I didn't know who the hell Ernie Sims was either. But I'm just like, well, Millen knows what he's doing.
Oh,
You know,
yeah.
I trust him. And then, sure enough, the next pick, the Arizona Cardinals take Matt Leinart.
Looking back, thank God. Thank
That's what's
God.
great. That's what's great is you look back at it and it's like, okay, maybe, or I mean, Ernie did about as good as he could for us. Was he worth the ninth pick overall? Probably not. But thank the Lord we didn't go with Leinart.
He still did better than Matt Leinart.
Exactly. So wherever you're at, I think maybe he's on the Colts now. Shout out to Ernie Sims. You got any?
I just want to first give a big what's up to all our friends in the old Prescott Slow Pitch Softball League. They're getting going tonight. They're probably playing game two of the night as we speak. So
Okay.
good luck. I'm expecting our good friend Skake to smash a lot of home runs this year, even though last week in tournament he let me down, but that's neither here nor there. And then my last shout out, I want to give a shout out to our high school's FFA. They had their big donkey basketball fundraiser this
Oh
week.
no, ass basketball,
Oh
as
yeah.
that's what the professionals call it.
And let me tell you a little bit. I don't know if anyone out there hears this and is not familiar with donkey basketball, but yes, it is exactly what you're thinking it is. It's basketball played on the backs of donkeys, who I don't know if anyone out there knows like the old saying, stubborn as a mule or whatever, but donkeys aren't exactly like horses where you give them a little kick on the sides and they start galloping along and you're trotting along and everything's nice and dandy. These things are ornery, they don't want to move, and of course the highlight of every night is when the donkey decides to poop on the floor, on the gym floor of the high school. So what's up, FFA? I see you, dog, I see you.
And now, to be fair, if you just ask the layperson, what do you think donkey basketball is? They might think that it's actual donkeys dribbling the ball up and down the court, but that's
Okay,
not the
yeah.
case. It's human beings
Yeah.
riding donkeys dribbling a ball up and down the cord.
And you can
So.
only score if you are on the back of the donkey. Just so you know. So you think you're playing, if you ever think you're going to play because it sounds easy, you want to be slick and try and shoot from the floor, just drag your jackass along. They don't play that.
No. Hey, listen, you're talking to someone who, as a child growing up, had to deal with the embarrassment of watching his high school teacher dad
Oh, Jesus.
ride on a donkey. I'm pretty sure that's where he hurt his neck, is falling off a stinking donkey. But
Probably.
yeah, shout out to all our friends, Ass Basketball. Glad to hear it went good.
I will tell you though, for long, when I was obviously when you're a little kid, this is like the funniest thing in the world to you. And then it gets ridiculously stupid. When I was there this week, I was laughing so hard every time a kid fell off, every time someone took a fall off these donkeys and smashed on the floor. It was like
And
I just felt like a child again, laughing hysterically.
they don't pad themselves up that well. What if they wear a
They
helmet?
wear a helmet, and that's it. I think some of them, I hope the guys wear like a cuff or something, because these are bareback donkeys. I mean, you're just jumping on this sucker.
Oh, well, I mean, if that doesn't get your appetite going, I don't know what will. Do you want to kind of explain what we're talking about today?
Well, I would say that Colin and I could be described as a term that's not used often, but every once in a while you hear it as foodies, people who are, fans of food. They like eating, like trying different things, like preparing meals or having big meals prepared or going out and eating a big meal. I'd say that's pretty accurate, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and really quick, I don't know if either of us has time to actually Google that term. Hopefully we didn't just use the term for people who have intercourse with food. But
No,
yeah,
it's
well,
a real term because I remember
yeah, okay.
actually the first time I heard it was when Barack Obama was elected. There was a story, they talked to Washington, D.C. restaurant owners, and they were excited because the Obamas were foodies and go out to
Okay.
eat a lot.
All right.
So.
Well, I buy that, and I think we're well suited to discuss food, discuss restaurants, discuss different types of cuisine that we like. I thought maybe we'd just run through our qualifications because a lot of people are going to tune in and be like, these guys don't know what they're talking about. But just so you know, personally, well, both of us worked for about 3 years, plus or minus, at a banquet hall, a buffet slash restaurant slash
Golf
golf course.
course.
All of those and much more. It was much more than that as well. But so we were around. I mean, there's some great food. I still go back there for buffets whenever I can. I also branched out a little bit. Spent about 6 months. And is it kosher to mention the restaurant chain's name in these?
Oh
Is
yeah, that's
well, I spent
fine.
about 6 months at Outback University, one of the best chain restaurants, best steak restaurants.
Casual dining.
Nice casual dining. Learned a lot. Literally learned a lot about steaks for one. They really hammer that home. But a bunch of weird, crazy margaritas, and really learned the fine art of serving while there. Spent another 6 months or so at more of a family-owned establishment. Myself and our good friend, we'll just call her Erica, and that's,
Kika.
yeah, you have to pronounce it a little bit differently. Her and I kind of came in a new family-owned restaurant that was starting up. It was a Tex-Mex type place called the Tumbleweed Cantina.
Delicious, by the way. It was
Oh my.
also where I made my comedy debut, just to get that in there really
Yeah, that's
quick.
right. Yeah, the first there's comedy every Wednesdays. Tim, we brought him in. Rocked Out was an opening act, open for some other gentlemen that were somewhat humorous.
A guy in a really crappy van. That's the one I can remember.
But so spent about 6 more months there. Did a little more like training and managerial slash type work, which when you're working for a family-owned restaurant, the term "on the house" is usually thrown around a lot, and it's never really a good thing.
Right.
But other than that, I consider myself an amateur cook. Love all types of foods, and I also always like to take in a good Food Network show, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, or Triple D to, the hardcore fan. Some of
Yeah.
my favorite, Iron Chef America, and I can't, count out a man Gordon Ramsay, Hell's Kitchen, and Kitchen Nightmares. So.
I never watched any of those, but I do watch the Triple D. Watch Man vs. Food every once in a while. The
Cool.
only problem with those shows is you cannot watch them and not get hungry.
Oh, Triple D especially. He's always going and just he squeezed a burger the other night. Just put it right up to the camera and squeeze the burger just so you could watch the juices come pulling up, just pouring out of it. Like, all right, I just changed the channel. I'm like, this doesn't do me any good at 9 o'clock at night.
I do watch a little bit of the Anthony Bourdain, No Reservations and The Layover, which it's kind of an absurd show. He'll go to like a foreign country, and he's there like in the layover. He's there 24 to 48 hours, and he just like eats as much and goes to as many different places to eat in that time, in that amount of time as he can.
I know I find Bourdain a bit smug.
Oh, he's
I don't
smug, but he's funny.
yeah I haven't caught on with him that much, but so needless to say, we both know
Right.
what we're talking about. Wanted to just address, because I've probably done a little bit more of the serving aspect than you have. You're more the muscle, would you say? When we were working at that banquet hall, you kind of you did the heavy lifting. You did a little
I
bit of the
mean, I did a
security.
little bit of everything, but I didn't serve a whole. I didn't serve like you did at a different restaurant. You
Right.
had experience serving there.
Right. Because it's one of the things we want to show some love again. Our friend Alex. We asked for people to just we told everyone we were gonna. On Facebook, that we were going to, talk about some food, some restaurants, and wanted some other ideas for anything anyone wanted to talk about. And she opened up, she kind of, laid her heart out there for everyone. You can always tell when someone served for a long time, because there's always those horror
There's a lot
stories.
of bitterness. I sensed a lot of bitterness. And first off, by the way, I do not know this person, but I consider her a friend anyways, because she
Yeah, of
liked our
course.
Facebook page.
Right. And a couple of the things, she throws out the tip. I've never met a server who hasn't been tipped horribly, 90% of the time. It's really, I almost seem to think that the only people that tip 18 to 20% are servers who can't afford to tip 18 to 20%.
Right.
It's kind of the age-old argument. You're just going to have that. One of the other things, she's also, I think, done a little bit of hostessing.
Yeah.
And, there's not much you can do. The hard thing about going into a place when it's full and being told that there's a wait is it puts all the pressure on you, the patron, because either you choose to stay and wait it out because
Yep.
you think the food's going to be worth it, or you make a clean break and you go and try and find someplace else to eat. That's where I think a lot of the animosity comes from the patron's point of view. I mean, would you agree on that?
Well, it kind of depends on the type of restaurant you're going to as well. I mean, if you go to one of these casual dining places, like you mentioned the Outback, if you go there, you're not going to make a reservation. I mean,
No,
does
I don't
anyone
even think
ever
they
make a
let you.
reservation for the
Yeah, they don't
Outback or
let
like
you.
Applebee's? So you're going to go there and you just expect to get seated. And if you're, like you said, if you don't, you're kind of thinking like, well, is the food going to be worth it? And of course, the thing it's going to come down to is you're going to ask that hostess or host, how long am I going to have to wait? And
How
this is
much?
something that she posted on Facebook. How does she know? That, or how does
Exactly.
he or she know? You don't. I mean, it's kind of absurd. But again, the pressure's on the patron of the that's going there to eat. And if he has a group, he's not just going to sit there like, oh, they're all full. He's going to be like, well, how long? How long do you think it's going to be?
Right.
And it's both ways, it's kind of a lose-lose.
And you start looking at those people, you start trying to eyeball tables that you see are done with their
Right.
food. Do they have any drinks left? Do they have their check there at the table? I mean, it was, I feel like she had a good cathartic episode. I feel like she got some things off of her chest. But that begs the question, and we want to talk positive here about good food experiences. But can you remember maybe just a negative experience you had while working in the industry? Does one come to mind right off the bat? Because I have one right now. If you want to think about yours, let me rattle
I
mine.
really can't think of a lot because most of the problems I had with people were during weddings and stuff like that when We weren't really serving food. I mean, I would carry food out to a table and maybe set it on their plate if the banquet was plated. But I mean, I didn't have to go back and check on them or anything like that. Very rarely, only if like the bar got really busy, I would help do that sort of stuff.
I think the worst, I say the one thing that still sticks with me, and we were at this golf course banquet hall place. It was fairly upscale for the area. There were some high rolling Mount Pleasant people that rolled through there, and I'd bartend every now and then. And I think every bartender will agree that some of the it's always bad when you have to do last call. There's always someone pissed off when it's last call. Well, I go to this kind of elderly gentleman who'd been drinking some really expensive drinks. He'd been drinking some Manhattans. I'm sure that's what Dick Whitman drinks on Mad Men. You know Tim. You know Dick Whitman.
Yep, Wikipedia'd him. So I feel like I know all about him now.
Okay,
Don't
good.
even need to
So
watch anything about him.
that's good. Well, you haven't been watching it anyway up till the fifth season. But so this guy's been drinking Manhattan, some stiff drinks. It's last call. He starts jingling his glass, wanting another one. I'm like, I'm sorry, sir. We're closing everything down. We just had last call. He leans in, gives me the, wags his finger for me to come closer. He leans in and goes, "Do you know who I am?" And I'll look. I feel that there's maybe 0.5% of people in this country who actually have a legitimate case to say, "Do you know who I am?" This gentleman was not one of them. I feel like, and I think I don't think I was trying to be an ass to him, but I just answered honestly. I go, "No, I don't, sir." And I think that pissed him off even more.
What you should have
He
said is, "Yeah, I do know who you are, and I hate you. That's why I'm not getting your drink."
and I'm trying to think of, he rattled off something that ipso facto he was in cahoots with the guy that owned the place, and
Oh, that's
by
nice.
that I needed to respect, his every beck and call. And you know what? And I still feel it still kind of irks me today that I actually did give him one more drink and then said after that, I can't do it, sir. But I had no idea. I still don't know who he is. But the fact that he asked me, "Do you know who I am?" I'll always remember that because I have no idea who he was.
He probably just dropped the name to see if it worked. It was like, "Oh man, it worked." Trying to like control his emotions about it. But we did
So
have some good food at that place though.
excellent. What do you think was your what was some of the best food that you had there? What was your favorite?
Man.
Because to
Honestly,
this, go ahead.
I don't know if I can choose a favorite because I liked a lot of it. But because it was the same thing so often, I just got so sick of it. I mean, even when I would order stuff off the menu, I was just like, man, this reminds me of something else that we serve on the buffet or always serve at a banquet. So I used to kind of like when I'd work the grill, just throwing out one of those big old 3-pound hot dogs or whatever and
Big
just
old hot dogs, yep.
munching on one of them. We had some decent burgers there.
Good burgers. You want to know what I remember being your favorite, though, is when we'd go in for a
Oh,
banquet,
yeah.
we'd always go to the menu to see what was going to be on tonight, because chances are, fingers crossed, we'd always be able to have a couple bites of something left over. And do you remember what it was that
Oh,
just
yeah, the
sounded like
turkey.
a turkey? You sounded like a little
Okay,
school
obviously, story has gotten so exaggerated. I was excited. I'm sure I didn't squeal with joy,
Oh, you
but I was
did.
excited because I was so sick of always having the same prime rib or ham, prime rib or ham. And man, those turkeys at that place, though, just those big old turkey breasts with the
Oh, big
juices
old
pouring out. Oh,
slow
God.
roasted. Oh, I mean, that's some of the best. It's different than a Thanksgiving turkey, right? What would you say is
Oh,
different? It's
yeah.
skinless. It wasn't a bird. It was more, I don't know how to
It
explain it,
was
but
just a
man, it
big
was
old
good.
turkey breast. I mean,
Yeah. Oh, that was good. I'd have to say there was a cherry pecan pork loin.
oh, jeez.
And you could just dip anything, even the pork. Sometimes after when you're eating at the end of the night, the pork was a little dry, but you could dip a shoe in that pork loin, the cherry pecan sauce. And I'd devour a shoe if you dipped it in that
I gotta be
pecan.
honest with you. I preferred just the pork loins when they were done. And our cook, we're just gonna call him Ben,
Yeah,
who
Ben.
he was a master chef. He was a fun guy to work with. He would slap what we called the love on there, that fancy schmancy small salt we had, which I can't remember it,
Seasoning.
but it really
Yep.
wasn't fancy at all. And it would get like, it would harden on there, so when you'd cut it, it'd just be coated with that. God, that was so good. The crab legs were amazing. We didn't have those cheap crab legs you see at like the Chinese buffets that are all white and small. We had big, bright orange ones.
Nice crab legs. And it remember that one summer where we put crab legs all you can eat on the buffet. And then there was a gentleman that came in who eventually earned the nickname Crab Leg Guy. We were pretty original there, who ate so much crab legs that the next year our boss sat us down. He's like, "Okay, guys, from now on, you only get
One
a pound and a
pound.
half. You only get a pound and a half of crab legs at
Right.
the buffet. We're not doing all you can eat anymore."
Well, and just like I said, these weren't some cheap frozen crab legs, I mean, that you can buy anywhere.
Alaska.
These were good.
These were from, I'm pretty sure, from Alaska. I
Yep.
remember carrying in them big old boxes of them. Those were good. I mean, we were spoiled. We gained a little bit of weight there because we had a lot of good food. I think you railed off most of the, those are some of the highlights. Those are the ones I remember. And hey, we'll have the same conversation because that's where I'm having my wedding at, and I'm going through the menu right now. So I want to make sure I appease all of our
Get that
tastes.
turkey, son.
But yeah, I mean, what I don't know. Do you want to kind of do you have some favorite restaurants or do you have some favorite foods? Like if you go into a place, what's kind of a go-to food that you want to try out or that you look for?
Well, it all depends. I don't know favorite restaurants. I mean, that's always such a open-ended discussion. There's so many restaurants, how can you really choose? There's a Chinese place here in town, and it's a locally owned establishment. It's not a chain, so I'm not going to say its name or anything, but I still contend to this day, and I've had a lot of Chinese cuisine. This place still, I can go in there anytime, get the Kung Pao chicken with hot and sour soup. The soup comes with it. It comes with two crab rangoons. And every time I'm there, oh, I can hear one of the devil dogs barking back there.
They're saying hi.
But every time I'm there, it is just so delicious, man. And I love Chinese food. It's all most of it that I actually eat, I love. But I mean, I have had Kung Pao chicken off buffets and at other Chinese restaurants, and it is just not the same as this place. It is just so good here.
And you're kind of like a you're kind of like a celebrity when you go in there, because one of the
Oh yeah,
times I
they
went with
say
you,
hi.
it's hello,
Me
Tim.
and my sister, they know my cousin John, my friend Skake. They're just like, oh, hot sour soup. They know they know what I'm gonna get. Hot sour soup, Kung Pao chicken. They'll just go out, bring it out. Sometimes they have to ask me if I want it extra spicy because sometimes I get it extra spicy. But that's my go-to there.
That's good.
Are you a big Chinese food guy or no?
I don't really expect a lot from it. I just want a good, like we had to just kind of say, start saying no to a Chinese place near us. They changed owners. Food was just, it was when you start getting that, it's not an actual chunk of chicken. It's just like a chunk of rolled up pieces of
The
something
breading.
that was, yeah. So we shunned that place. I don't ask a lot for my Chinese food. I want it to be, I want the chicken to be fairly fresh, and I like a good spicy. I usually do like the general sows. I like a little spice
Little
to
sweet
that.
too, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't. So I love Chinese food, but I don't. I'm not that picky about it. It doesn't take much
Okay.
to make me.
I like a lot of the buffets too. I mean, I most Chinese food, it's not just the Kung Pao chicken. I do like it. I like sushi when it's like in those rolls.
Oh,
Dude,
I
I
didn't
just
know
throw
you
some
did.
soy sauce on there. Oh man, there's a place in Bay City in the mall. I can't remember the name of it, but they have it on their
Sushi from
buffet.
there?
Oh
Okay.
yeah, and I'll just go there and get like a plate of it and just douse it with soy sauce and down the hatch.
Nice. See, I didn't. It's both sushi and then, let's hold off just a little bit on our big Indian food rant. But I didn't dip into sushi or Indian food until I went down. Lived down outside St. Louis, Missouri for a while. But that's also where I found it. It's my favorite restaurant. I'm fine saying it. And go figure, it's an Irish pub called O'Connell's. But I'm telling you, the best hamburger I've ever had. I don't know what they did to it. They won't even give you lettuce because they only want to have fresh as possible vegetables there. So you can get some onions there. You can maybe get a tomato, but they don't even give you lettuce. That's how serious they take their burgers. And I'd like to think I'm somewhat of an expert on Irish cuisine. And that's basically, unfortunately, because Irish cuisine is basically made up of potatoes, cabbage, and corned beef.
It's a pretty easy subject to be an
To be an
expert
expert on, but I'll tell you what, I know what I'm talking about when it comes to potatoes, cabbage, and corned beef. But excellent burgers down there. You mentioned we touched on Tumbleweed Cantina really quick.
Well, just one thing before you go on, because I had this and I wanted to talk about it. How underrated, seriously, is like American food? The hot dogs, the burgers, the fries, the hot wings. I mean, it gets no love. Everyone always talks about all these other ethnicities, but we got some pretty good things going here with the American food, man. I mean, it's not healthy for you. It doesn't seem real exotic or anything, but come on, man. It needs a little bit of love out there.
I agree. And that's why I asked, like, what's your, if you go into a restaurant you've never been at, what's maybe a food that you want to try to kind of measure the muscle of the restaurant? And that's where the burger is for me. You know, if a place, feel like every place should have a good burger. Hot dogs, sausages, kielbasa, things like that. You know my saying, there's two things I think, you know, people shouldn't see made, and that's bills and hot dogs. But the thing is that you can't, I don't know if you can just advertise your place as just American food,
No,
because can
but
you
that's
even
what
have
most of
French
these
fries?
places are. Well,
Right.
French fries aren't really from France, are they?
Freedom fries. I thought we were still calling them
But
that.
if I go into a place like that I've never been to, yeah, I'm gonna probably go with a burger and fries, maybe some hot wings, but that's a gamble because I do love me some hot wings, as most people who know me will tell you.
You're a wing expert.
Oh yeah, but that's the problem is that you get these wings at a lot of places that just aren't up to par. It's like, man, I could have thrown some in the oven and put some franks on them and it would have been better, you know? So I don't like to just go with the hot wings unless it's like a small appetizer sample of them or something.
Just to get a little bit, and that brings up a good point. What, I think it's easier to ask, what don't you put franks on? Let's not ask what you do put franks red hot. What don't you? Milk? Do you put it in your milk?
No, let's see. I won't put it on ham. There's some
That's
reason it
interesting.
doesn't seem like it should go on ham.
Okay.
Now, if it's turkey, chicken, of course. I don't usually put it on roast beef unless it's like barbecued roast beef with barbecue sauce on it. Then I'll
Okay.
throw on some franks to give it that spice. Obviously, anything with gravy. You don't need to mix franks and gravy.
Right.
That should be plenty for you with the gravy. But I mean, if it's a potato that's not mashed, it's usually getting franks on it from me.
Yep. Any kind of
Eggs,
Mexican
obviously.
dish?
Oh, are you kidding me? All my Mexican dishes. I mean, they're gonna get some sort of hot sauce, and Frank's is probably my favorite hot sauce, so yeah, I guess that you could say I do put that bleep on everything. I put it on pizza. Dude, it's just so good, man.
Pizza, yep. I mean, I can't. I think you can always tell what type of condiments are important to people when you move, when you get into a new house, when you get into a new refrigerator. What's some of the handful of things that you go out and get right away? For me, Frank's, obviously, some Worcestershire sauce. I'm really big on horseradish and horseradish sauce. I want to have that because, like you touched on, if I got good roast beef, good corned beef, you want to have some horseradish sass
Oh yeah.
to put with that. Yeah, anything Mexican. We didn't even have Frank's Red Hot, the Tumbleweed Cantina. We had that. Was it Chalupa or Chapalua?
Oh yeah, they
You know, but that's good.
Kahlua or something.
Cholula,
Yeah,
yeah,
that
maybe that's
stuff's
what
pretty
it was.
good. A lot of places in California had that. That stuff's not bad. That Tapatio isn't bad, but that stuff's more of like geared towards going on Mexican food. Frank's is just all purpose.
Yeah, anything. Anything. Well, that's good. And I mean, we both share a love for the spicy foods.
Oh
And
yeah.
if there's one joy that I've brought to your life, it's been the induction of Indian food into your repertoire. Could you say that? Will you thank me? I know you won't thank me for much, but you'll thank
Yeah,
me for.
I do like it. I've had it maybe let's see, 3 or 4 times.
And
But
have I been
I
there
do I
every?
like it.
Yeah.
Every time I've eaten it, I've loved it.
Yeah.
I can't really remember what I've ever eaten. I can't remember the names except when I got the curry the one time. But whatever it is, that was like the only time besides when I tried lamb chops that I've ever eaten a baby animal. I try not to do it, but I have
You
eaten
had
it.
the
Whatever it was at
the
that
lamb.
buffet we went to.
Yeah, well, that's see, I started with Indian food at a buffet. Shout out, show some love to Mr. Curry's down in Edwardsville, Illinois, which I'm gonna be down there in a week. We might talk about that upcoming here. But so I always had it in a buffet setting where you're right. Just give me a little bit of rice and then about five different, mostly Indian food is just kind of a meat or usually a vegetable in some kind of just delicious sauce, usually some curry mixed up with everything. A couple of times, the first time I took you was at a place that didn't have a buffet, but we each got something different, kind of traded around, gave you some love. But just about maybe a month ago, came down and soaked up another buffet that I found maybe about 10 minutes from my house down here. And I mean, Mr. Curry's is nice just because Mr. Curry's is literally in this guy's house. So you kind of feel like you're getting, it feels a little more authentic. But the Ashoka Indian cuisine, I mean, a good Indian buffet when you come home and then kind of, you just kind of like have cramping pain. And you pass out for like an hour
Well, see,
after the
I
meals.
prefer the place we went to in Saginaw, to tell you the truth.
Oh, do you?
I like the food. I just don't like buffet food as much as when I order it and it comes out to me. Obviously with the buffet you can absolutely pig out and you can, leave that place feeling ashamed of how much you've eaten.
Yeah,
And
for
it's a
sure.
little bit harder to do that when you're getting food brought out to you. But I just it's just like with the whole Chinese food thing we were talking about. I don't hate Chinese buffets. Like I said, you can go there, you can eat and eat and eat some more. But there's just the quality of food is not the same.
Right. Okay. While I don't
No,
agree with what you're saying,
don't
I'll
get me
fight to
wrong.
the
That
death.
place was good. I loved it.
Yeah.
I love the food, but I mean, I just prefer it to be prepared.
Right. I mean, while I don't agree with what you're saying, I'll fight to the death for your right to say it. So I'll give you that much. How are we doing on time?
We're at about 32 and a half minutes already.
Okay. Well, I mean, you want to kind of, I have one more kind of slightly creepy story I wanted to tell. And we're not doing a list because basically the whole episode's been just kind of counting down favorite foods,
Well, we haven't
restaurants.
even talked about a lot of stuff that we need to talk about. And I don't, I mean, like, we need to kind of talk about Mexican food a little bit.
Okay.
Are you a fan or is it just another food for you? And here's the problem too. Mexican food has become very Americanized. Wouldn't you say that's true?
I mean, I worked at a Tex-Mex place, which is basically the, embodiment of Americanizing or Texanizing Mexican food. So, oh yeah, definitely.
But man, out in Cali, they could make you some burritos, like just these places, they're just basically fast food, Chipotle, Qdoba, which they have a few spread throughout Michigan, but
Yeah.
like I went to a Qdoba in Michigan and it's not the same as when I got it out in California. I mean, maybe it was because they didn't have actual Mexican people making it or something.
Right.
I have no idea why, but the steak didn't taste as good. I don't know. And it was busy too, so it wasn't like weren't having to bring fresh food out, but Mexican food is definitely something that's starting to kind of take a hold of me. I've been going through some wet burritos at some different places
So
up
you like
here
the
in
wet
Michigan.
burritos, don't you?
I actually prefer non-wet burritos more, but most places don't around here up in northern Michigan don't have any sort of burritos that aren't wet burritos. So you gotta
Okay.
take what you can get.
I buy that. I mean, I won't. When I was working at the Tumbleweed, I was spoiled because I could have it whenever I wanted it. But I don't know if I actively seek out a Mexican restaurant when I want, if I know, hey, let's go out and get something to eat. I think something more, where can I get a good burger? Do I want Indian food? Where can I get maybe some sushi? And I know you have an opinion on this. I always like to find a good
I
Italian
thought you said
place
you
too.
don't eat sushi.
No, I love sushi. You kidding me?
Oh,
Oh no, I love
did you just
sushi.
say Italian place?
Well, I mean, you have an opinion on this.
Okay. I don't hate Italian food. Like, if I get some spaghetti or something, I can throw some pound of cheese on it. I just don't th I mean, everyone's always so in love with it. I just don't think it's as good as these other Chinese, Indian, Mexican. It's just not as good to me. I don't know what it is, but I just think it's kind of overrated. Everyone always talks about it, and maybe it's because that too has become so Americanized, where you can get it, like you said, if you go out for a good burger, you can also get nachos. If you go to a place with a good burger, you can usually get like spaghetti or something too.
I mean, I think it's definitely, I don't want to say easy to make,
Oh,
but
it is.
it's simple. I think it's easy to overlook a good, like a good red sauce. I like to think that I eat a lot of Italian food. I try to make like one of my go-to meals that I make is just a good, nice, thick spaghetti sauce with some meatballs. Just for one, it's easy to make, but I do feel like you can notice the difference between like a good red sauce that someone's made from scratch, and then just what does Ray Liotta say at the end of Goodfellas? Noodles and ketchup. I can notice the difference between those. But even you're right, I've gone to places down around here that have been touted for their fine Italian cuisine, and I go there and I wouldn't say I notice that much of a difference between the red sauce they have with some meatballs and what I can whip together just with a bunch of different seasoning and some good seasoned meatballs. So, I mean, whether it's overrated or not, I don't know. I still really like it.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, any of these foods that I've mentioned, you set it in front of me, I'm probably going to scarf it down until I'm full and enjoy it. I mean, I'm not trying to hate on any sort of ethnic food other than Irish food, but most of it
Course.
is pretty good. I mean, it's just, I just don't, like you said, you don't seek out Mexican food. I just never really seek out Italian food,
Seek
but
out the
man,
Italian food.
you get a good breadstick. That makes a big
Hell yeah.
difference. Is that really Italian, or is that more of an American thing?
Don't know. I'd say let's just give it to the Italians. I don't know if they have that much to really call their own. Well, I had a story about people who used to come into Outback, who we call the broccoli people, and every now and then the woman would have a fake baby doll with her that she took really seriously and pretended like it was a real child. But I don't know if we
What?
have.
This is a grown woman?
Yeah, a grown couple.
Oh, I
But
gotta hear more. I gotta hear more.
that was pretty much the gist of it. It was
No.
kind of your rite of passage at this Outback Steakhouse. They would always sit in the far corner because the woman said her ears were sensitive to the banging and clanging of the plates and dishes.
Okay.
So she so
Hers or
they had
the fake baby that she carried with
they're
her?
hers. They had to sit as
Okay.
far away from the kitchen as possible. They were the type of couple, kind of goes back to some of a complaint I'm sure Alex would have. Didn't never wanted never wanted their broccoli salted, which is one of the reasons I think they became known as the broccoli people. The chicken couldn't be seasoned. Not only could it not be seasoned, it couldn't be grilled on the same grill where seasoned chicken had been grilled on. It was one of those things where
We had some
people.
people kind of like that used to come into Buck's Run.
Yeah, but again,
Similar.
none of them had a fake baby doll that they would hold
True.
in their arms. And it was great because, you had sections there at Outback, and one evening I just had the back corner section, and these people sat down, and I went up, and the guy's like, "We'd like an iced tea, but with no ice, and we'd only like the white, the plain sugar. Please don't give us any of the Splenda or anything." Just started rattling off all these requests. I'm like, "What the hell?" And so I go back into the kitchen, get in front of the computer, start punching some stuff in, and one of the veteran servers came up to me and goes, "Hey, who's got table 17 right now?" I'm like, "I do." "Oh, you do? All right. All right. Breaking you in. Good. Your first time having them." Start patting me on the back. Someone else comes up to me a minute later. "Hey, who's got the broccoli people? I saw they're here." I'm like, "I do." "Ooh, all right. Rite of passage. Is this your first time? Is this your first time with them?" I'm like, "Son of a bitch." And it was bad. It was bad every time they came in. You had people swapping $10 bills to try and, take them, please. I'll give you $10 right now. The sad thing was, at the very end of all of it, you were maybe counting in change, maybe $1.50, $2 of a
Right.
tip. After all you went through, pretending that there wasn't a lifeless baby eyed doll staring
trying
at
not
you.
To make eye contact with it.
No. And I never knew. I'd ask someone, I go, do I ask the baby? Do I ask if the baby needs anything? Do I bring
do
it
you,
out some apples?
Do you need a high chair for that?
Someone was going to give me like 10 bucks to take out some applesauce and go, here's for the baby. Yeah. But I couldn't keep a straight face.
Jeez.
So it can be, you know, yeah, we complain about the tips, complain about, you know, asking for something every time you go and check in with them, but it can always be worse. That's my only, the only thing else I have to say about that.
Well, and this is just kind of the final thought I have about the whole restaurant thing too, is that really, as bad as those are, that's what makes the experience. I mean, sure, it would be nice to go in every day and, you know, have a nice, I don't want to say relaxed day of work, but, you know, a good routine where you're doing the same thing and you're getting a decent tip from everybody. But you need those people who are just out there to come in every once in a while. I mean, you need those people who came into the banquets at our place in Mount Pleasant we worked that were from across the pond, coming over from Great Britain and just drinking straight Jack Daniels, no ice, putting it down, dancing on chairs, can't understand what they're saying. I mean, that's what makes those jobs so really, like, memorable. I mean, if you just get the same thing every night and you don't get some of those, I don't want to say freaks because I don't want to sound mean, but you got to get some of those outcasts who just, it's like their first time ever being in a restaurant and they don't care. They're just there for them, you know, to take it all in, and you just got to let them do it.
Oh, every night you can go home with a story every night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every night something happens. Yeah. Some crazy group of people. You have someone say just something awkward to you. You have someone fall, someone get a little too drunked up. I mean, you always have a story. And you're right, it's easy to pull out a lot of the negatives because there definitely are a lot of negatives. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a one-of-a-kind profession, you know. And I'm not going to lie, though. I'm knocking on wood right now hoping that I never have to go back to it.
Oh, yeah, I'll never work at a restaurant again, trust me. But that's about good time to stop. Colin, you want to say anything about what we got going on with the Facebook page really quick?
I mean, go to, if you're listening to this, you're either already a friend of ours, like the Facebook page, or you're hearing for the first time. Again, I kind of screwed up. I made a group, then a page. Ignore the group. We're not going anywhere with the group.
Right.
Go like the page. You know, we're trying to throw up, at least just, you know, we're doing a podcast every week, throwing that up, trying to, you know, every day just throw up some couple little stupid comments. You know, we'd love to hear people comment, like what you think's funny. Slowly, as we build up the clientele, we want to, you know, interact with people a little bit more. We have a drawing going on. Our friend Rodney's the first name in the hat for a t-shirt. Signed by Tim and I.
It might even be a worst friend swag pack. We're talking t-shirts, stickers, and wristbands. Combined value of probably $12. But hey, it's better than what you got now, right? So
exactly.
So, you know, follow us. Every once in a while, you'll see a funny comment on there. Maybe a link to a video. We threw one up from our friends in California. Mm-hmm. If you go to, and of course, too, when you search for it on Facebook, this is the nice thing about it. You don't even need to put the hashtag in the spelling when you're searching for it.
Nice.
But there's also worstfriendspodcast.blogspot.com where we have all the episodes. I'm still trying to get this up on iTunes. I've kind of gotten beaten down a little bit and tried to just ignore it for a while, but I know it has to be done. But there you can listen there or you can download it. Appreciate the downloads. It helps us keep track a little bit better than just by seeing the page views and trying to figure out how long people are there. Mm-hmm. But also while you're at the website, worstfriendspodcast.blogspot.com. Look, I'm going to be doing some different stuff with YouTube. I don't want to go into it too much right now, but just some different audio skits that we're going to be putting out there for people to listen to or to make videos to. We're going to start putting up our list, Colin's top three Liam Neeson movies, because I'm not putting my name on it because he has Star Wars Episode One over Schindler's List. And also our top five movie twists. Get those up there for you real soon. And, I think that's about all. Colin, did you want to say a special farewell to anybody?
No,
No.
I don't care. Just wrap it up, B.
You only got the special hellos. Well, let's wrap it up. Thanks for listening, and keep on the lookout for the next one. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. See you later.